Here comes another best of best episodes on Footy Prime. Back to the John.
Hello there. The boys and the girls on Footy Prime show can sometimes get a bit out of control. Yeah, they'll say words that might not be suitable for children. So use your full discretion when you're playing this around your family. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jim, and JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
There, we're recording. And we're starting off with this.
Well, listen, we will have some, I think, really fascinating content today. We're going to talk to Casey Stoney later in the show, Canada's new women's national team head coach. We'll talk some MLS transfer strategy evolution, but we have to start talking in full Footy Prime style with the big news this week from the world of football. And that was the Lazio Eagle handler. There he is. You're not watching this. Anyone's watching this. We have the picture of the guy up right now. Looks a little bit like Dana.
White, UFC.
Right.
Yeah, he does a little bit, doesn't he? This is Juan Bernabe. I think that's how you pronounce his name.
I'm not sure.
He's been fired after getting a penile implant. Mm-hmm. And not just that, but then posting all about it, including pictures on social media. And Craig was very curious as to the details of this story, including, is there a phone number?
Did he go
website to find some more information about penile implants?
Yeah, where did he go for this?
I'm assuming he's gone to Turkey, got his teeth done as well.
Obviously not his hair.
No.
A two-for-one deal?
Yeah.
Got his third leg lengthened.
Well, we discussed leg lengthening on the last show, didn't we?
So it's third leg.
Yeah. So you get a penile implant, which I'm assuming is very different to the leg surgery where they literally cut off the bone and insert a rod.
It's not a different bone.
There's a pump involved in this, apparently.
Like in Austin Powers?
Yeah.
Swedish made.
I mean, I am fascinated by this.
I was as well, and I actually did some homework on it.
Of course you did.
He did some homework.
Yeah. I wanted to figure this all out. Now, there's two different procedures. There's the implant, which is very, very dangerous. Oh. And then there's the lengthening procedure, where they actually put an incision just above the shaft, and they clip a ligament, and your shaft ends up dropping at least maybe another inch and a half, 2 inches, to give you more length.
Mm. Dropping? How do you mean dropping?
Well, charms of you like that, and it just goes, drops. It elongates.
Okay.
Right?
Is it a firing offense?
No, I mean, a guy's
the social media is right. The firing offense. Putting your...
Exactly.
Your
it wasn't so much the decision to get the penile implant. It was his decision to then publicize the results of his penile implant surgery.
And here's some breaking news, Dubs. The New Zealand Herald, their headline is Dick Move. Team doctor sacked for posting the picture because he performed it. So to even like this is you couldn't write this stuff. This is the team doctor performed the surgery.
Really?
But yes.
Team doctors, I mean, this would be a urologist. You would think they'll be performing the surgery, not your average football team doctor. Is he like a jack of all trades?
Yeah, he should be a magician.
Jack off of all trades, yes.
Yeah.
I will make your penis longer.
Did they both get sent packing?
Yeah. I'd say lots of you haven't had this international press, I think, ever. Maybe since Paolo De Canio was doing the old fascist salute back in the day.
Mm.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to do that, Charms.
Boy, I'm doing the fascist slush. But it's kind of fitting, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the Falconer was hoping for a rousing reception of his own improved salute.
But he's very honest, right? He's very, so to speak, naked with his No, he's saying how he felt bad. Now he can make love as long as he wants to his wife. And that's the most important thing because sex is so important. So, I mean, look, It's a football story. It's like it's Die Hard, a Christmas story. Is this a football story?
Yeah, that's right. Is it a football movie?
Mm. Well, he got his wish. He got his Christmas wish. So it could be a Christmas story too.
The bird actually bit his cock off, and then
they could. Right? Those things, they're magnificent creatures. Like, have you been John close Wayne. To one of those things?
Yeah.
Those eagles?
An extended enlarged penis? No.
A little bit closer than I hoped. But no, they're incredible beasts. I mean, they're majestic and beautiful. I was in Lisbon a couple of years ago now in Benfica and met the actual their eagle guy who hadn't had a penile implant as far
Falcon.
As
Falcon. Raptor. As well. Raptor guy.
Raptor. It's not a raptor. It's not a dinosaur.
No. Raptors, that's what they're called. Just look it up.
They're called raptors?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the type of bird they are. Yep. It's a species of raptors. So eagles, falcons, hawks are raptors. Yes.
No, that's bullshit. A raptor.
Oh my god, Charms.
A raptor is a dinosaur. Look at the basketball team in Toronto, for Christ's sake.
Remember where birds came from.
I was gonna say, like Toronto, he wanted to show everybody his purple raptor.
I thought
poor Casey Stoney coming in after this.
I know.
Horrified.
Yeah. Well, let's probably move on then, I guess.
Welcome, Casey.
No, we're here.
Well, while we're here, I mean, there's a thing. There's obviously a market for getting the surgery, but there's always, you know, the less invasive way.
Yes.
There it is. The Swedish made peanut larger pumps and me. This sort of thing is my bag, baby.
It's not mine, baby, I swear.
Well, I think we've probably exhausted this topic. But we welcome any suggestions, any more information from our audience.
But also,
finished with it.
I'd like to...
Let's clean it up and move on.
We'll come to another other subject pretty soon. But I want to thank Dave DeCola for sending this and our friend Flash Thompson for making sure, because he said this has to be a subject on Footy Prime or I won't listen anymore. Something into that effect. I'm paraphrasing. So thank you, Flash.
I didn't think we'd be starting the show with it.
No, but no. The length of the segment was quite impressive.
It was only going to be a half an hour podcast. Now it's an hour. Yeah.
Just need a little girth now.
Yeah. It's a girth surgery with the pump. You know, let's not go there. I don't know.
I looked it up, $15,000 with $1,000 if you were doing this on the open market. If your soccer doctor is doing it, your club doctor could be cheaper, but $15,000 with $1,000 down payment. They've got you. It's like, hey, it's like a mortgage. You know, you put a down payment on, you have to go through with it.
So it's like $2,000 an inch?
Well, I don't think you get 2 inches. Is that what he gets?
I don't know.
$15,000 an inch.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Maybe we'll reach out and try and interview him. He seems very open to discussing the details of this procedure. Mm. But it's like club doctors. You know, they're a talented bunch, apparently. You got a torn hamstring. You got a hernia. You got a small cuck. Taking care
seen
of
it all.
Yep, seen it all. Okay, to the football. Hey, MLS, let's hit some MLS now. There's, I think Tom Bogert was reporting this. There's a new, I guess, strategy in the transfer methodology of MLS. Basically, they're going to start allowing cash transfers like we see overseas in every other league, not just trades or GAMs and TAMs, like hard cash transfers, which brings MLS closer to their rivals across in Europe, I suppose. At the same time, there's still a cap, right? So it's not quite the same as it is over there. But Jimmy, I mean, is this a good thing, or will this just create that more so than ever, the haves and have-nots, and have that elite group of teams that are always going to be competing beyond the capabilities of the other
teams? No, I think it's a good thing. I think, you know, that it's a new phase for the league. I think the league's very stable where they are right now, and they want to improve it and get even better. And I think this is an opportunity for them to do that and compete with the rest of the world.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
they're very flexible with changing rules anyway. So if they don't think it's working, they'll make some changes. But it just shows you that the general manager really needs to know the league, and it's important who you hire in that regard, even more so than the coach. Remember, when he took Los Angeles, he was sideways with the rules. He had no idea what he was getting himself into.
Yeah.
And as far as it, sorry, Jimmy, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, as far as it pertains to creating that gap between like your top end spenders and maybe teams that don't want to do a lot of spending, like your CF Montreals, it's capped, right? So you can acquire up to two players and you can trade away up to two players per year for the cash. And I'm excited to know if there's going to be an acronym similar to GAM and TAM that's attributed to this. But it, like, to Forrest's point, I think a guy like Corey Ray, who knows the league so well, understands the rules, but also is really familiar with the people who work in the league. And you look at the acquisitions that he's made since he was brought in as a consultant. Now he's director of football of within MLS, and really capitalizing, giving guys second chances, but seeing their worth, seeing the value of a player, and then making those team-to-team trades within MLS. I think from a league perspective, it not only benefits a team like CF Montreal, but from a league perspective, it allows that top talent to stay and evolve in the league. And I think that helps it grow.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And I think it's important now. Look, you've seen many times where a manager comes into an organization and he's the technical director, head coach / GM. I think with the rules in MLS, the league's too big now. I think you're going to see a lot more teams just hire a coach and just say, you coach the team, that's it. We'll have a GM, we'll have a technical director, we'll have other people in place that can deal with all the other business, and you focus on the football. And I think we saw it with Bradley. I mean, when Bradley was at TFC, he was a man with many hats, and it's very difficult to work. So I think you're going to see a lot more changes within the league now.
Well, we've seen that in Europe, right? Last number of years, director of football's, you know, whoever it's going to be, sporting directors coming in, and they deal with all that kind of stuff. The coaches are, I mean, on the continent in Europe, it's been that way for a long time. You have the head coach, generally speaking, and they're just there to coach, and they'll be given players. You make it work. I know the UK's been a little bit slower to adopt to that, but that now, more and more, we're seeing that now in the big clubs, and now we're seeing over here as well, because I don't know if there's a more complicated league in the world than MLS as far as the goings on behind the scenes and how you build a roster with cap constraints, quotas. You know, GAM, TAM, WAM, BAM, whatever you want to call it. You know, ham. Is the new one, right? That's the new one, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to happen, and I think this is probably a good thing. At least it makes it a little bit more simple for us, right? Good, easy cash transfer. And making trades is difficult. Just ask, you know, Jason Hernandez at TFC last year, how hard it was. With little cap room last year in particular, it was very difficult. And you don't see too many blockbusters, do you? Even with the trades in MLS, I'm trying to think when the last real blockbuster was. It just doesn't happen. That's not how you have player movement so much. Mm-hmm. You know, it's teams freeing up contract space and money. That's how you get player movement in MLS. So it'll be interesting. Vancouver has some work to do. They got their coach, apparently. Apparently. Jesper Sorensen. He was announced and unveiled yesterday morning, I think it was. Found out later in the day because there's no release given to us. We didn't get a release. They've got to work better getting their message out there. They really do. This is a big deal. We would have talked about it more.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on Jesper Sorensen? He comes from Brøndby, Danish head coach. Obviously knows the game, been around the block a few times. Craig?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I'm sure he's a very good coach. I'm sure he's a good guy. Just a little bit underwhelming, I think.
Are you disappointed it wasn't Wagner?
Well, I'm more disappointed that it's not a Canadian, to be honest with you.
I'd be interested to see once again who got an opportunity if the CPL coaches had the opportunity to even interview. That'd be interesting to me.
Well, I mean, we discussed it in the last show, right?
We did.
It's a big jump going from the CPL to MLS. We understand that.
do the Bobbies and the Tommies need to go via USL? But in this case, you have a guy who has no experience, right, in MLS? Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah, no, zero experience. Doesn't know the league at all. And they've gone that route as opposed to going to a Tommy or a Bobby, for example, who they know North American football. Both those guys know MLS. We've spoken to them. Yeah, they're CPL guys, but they know MLS. They know the league. They follow it very closely. But maybe they said no, because that job, Dubs, let's be honest, there's not much stability. This team could be moving with new owners, you know, sadly, in the not-so-distant future. So perhaps there wasn't that much of a choice.
Yeah, it could be. I think that's absolutely something that was a consideration from their standpoint, where you're ceding a lot of that control, and it makes it a lot more focused. So maybe that was a deterrent from their perspective, right? Like maybe that wasn't something that they wanted to take on. And to Jimmy's point earlier, maybe more and more that's what you're going to see in MLS, where it's a lot more streamlined, that your head coach, your manager does just that. But I think it was interesting to hear what Sorensen said after the fact, obviously, because we didn't get the notice that the press conference was taking place. But that, you know, they were looking to swing for the fences, I think, and, you know, to bring it back to Robin Fraser. And the sentiment that I saw in my own echo chamber on socials was that it was underwhelming, that many people were hoping for a bigger name. He might end up being the best fit, and it might end up being that for Sorensen. But I think that you look at a guy like Axel Schuster, being German, maybe this appointment was always going to be European. And then that makes it a more ambitious hire versus somebody who might be better qualified, but they were never really seriously considered in a Tommy or a Bobby. And maybe that goes a long way, as you said, like unstable. Maybe they're not going to stay in Vancouver. They're going to be moving elsewhere. But maybe for the moment, that's what the fan base needs and those people there who are the diehards to kind of satisfy them.
And Axel Schuster can't be, you know, working day to day with the assumption that they're moving. He's got to be going as if they're going to be there forever, right? That's his job. The best product on the pitch as he possibly can. The best staff around it, right? But Jimmy, I mean, you know the game that when you know there's probably new owners coming in at some point, you know that any hire, especially you know in the front office and on the sidelines, is probably going to be a shorter hire than a longer one, because usually speaking, new owners want to bring in the new people. It might take them a year or so to clear out the old staff, but they want their own people in there.
Yeah, usually they do. When you take over a club, you want your own manager in, but it depends how the manager is doing that's in place already. If the manager's in there and he's winning, he's successful, you're not going to change that. But for me, when I looked at it, it's quite a strange hire for me. Meaning that, you know, you've got a manager who's only coaching the Dutch league or the Danish league. Now, when you look at the Danish league, and nothing against the Danish league, but it's not a top five league, right? This manager really hasn't won much in the Danish league, but if you're going to go for a Danish coach, then why not look at Bobby and take Bobby from a Canadian league who's been successful, who's got Champions League experience over here in North America, who's won championships, very good coach. Now I'm looking at it thinking, well, if you're going to get Sorensen, well, why not take Bobby? I think that would have been a better move for me.
I agree. Yeah, maybe that. Less of a risk, maybe. Right, but like I said, we don't. Maybe they did approach Bobby. Maybe he said no. If you're Bobby or Tommy right now, okay, yeah, I'm sure at some point you want to move up to, you know, the next level. But you also want stability too, right? Do you look at Vancouver and think, man, this team's ain't going to be there a year from now, 2 years from now? Do I really want to be part of that and give up what I have right now, albeit in a smaller league? Sure, but you have the keys to the castle. At Cavalry or at Forge, right, Craig? I mean, that's there's a lot to that, right? We shouldn't dismiss what those guys have, you know, in the CPL right now.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. And both those guys are incredibly loyal too. And unless they're approached, they're not going to go behind the backs of those clubs. Everything's going to be communicated to the club and the ownership, because Tommy has a connection to the ownership in Calgary, and so obviously Bobby does in Hamilton as well. I know one of those guys definitely wasn't approached at all.
Wasn't approached. Yeah.
One of those guys.
Well, that is ludicrous to me, how you wouldn't even approach either one of those guys. For God's sakes, guys, you know, people, I mean, whether it's TFC, whether it's Vancouver, whoever, you at least have a conversation, don't you? Don't you?
I would. They got their focus on other things.
Maybe.
Pretty tough as a player, too. If I'm playing for Vancouver and the history of the club and all that, and it just could disappear, you know, you end up playing for a club, you know, down the road, you talk, oh, I used to play for the Whitecaps. I mean, it's a bit like Frank Yallop playing for the Tampa Bay Mutiny. You know, yeah, I played for them and they no longer exist. I mean, it's kind of shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It's really shitty.
I mean, it's so different than Europe because they're not franchises. The fact that these franchises can literally just pick up and leave in North America makes it tough for fans. We've seen that in basketball and NFL all the time.
Well, Vancouver, the Grizzlies, remember them?
No,
yeah,
word.
Yeah, no, I do, because they're down in Memphis where all those Grizzlies are. It's like the Utah Jazz.
You mean as opposed to where all the Raptors are in Toronto? Mm-hmm.
The Lakers, where they're in Minnesota, yeah.
But I mean, back to Bobby and Tommy, it is, Dubs, a strange, very unique situation for those guys because they both built those clubs up from the ground. It, like Jimmy said, that it's not just a matter of a coach just leaving and being a mercenary. You know, that's my job. I jump from club to club to club. They might well do that eventually. But both those coaches have such roots in those markets. You know, Tommy was at the Foothills for a long time, right? Bobby obviously was Sigma, in this part of Ontario for a long time. And then they literally came in and CPL's being born. They're a big part of that invention of this domestic professional league in Canada. And they built those clubs up from the ground. They've got a lot of currency within those clubs, and those clubs have a lot of currency within them as well. It's not as simple as just jumping ship, I wouldn't think.
No, but I see it like the counterpoint to what Forrest is saying about two guys who are highly credible in the game, so much respect for them from a player's perspective just across Canada in the footballing kind of arena. And they are loyal guys. But I think you look at CPL and the pride that comes with seeing players graduate, use the league as a springboard to other leagues, bigger, better leagues overseas, wherever it is, or even to MLS. And from a club perspective, what that means, but league and club. So while they might be loyal, I know that they are and great people, and they have created something, they have the roots there, it's a community, right? But I think there's part of that ownership, I would imagine, that also a small part of them likely wants to see them graduate to something, not necessarily better, but something different. Something of it so that they can be tested, so they can be proven. And that gives more credence in a way to the club and to the league itself. So that to me, and it might not be enough to pull them away from what they've built because they're incredible builders, not only for those respective clubs in those communities, but for Canadian soccer. Like those guys will be legends by the time that they retire. It is my belief that they will be. But they likely as competitive people in that realm, like when you're in sport, and I know they both are, they're winning coaches, you want more. You need to. Otherwise, you die. You need to have that winning mentality. So there's a small part of them for sure, and maybe Vancouver wasn't the right fit because it's tenuous, because it's unstable. But they will, if it's up to me to make a bet, they're going to try their hand at a different league, at something that's a higher level. They will.
See, well, you mentioned them being legends. I can totally see, you know, in 20, 30 years from now, outside the CPL's palatial offices, a couple of bronze statues of Bobby and Tommy. And man, they are good-looking statues, aren't they?
The hair will be glorious.
Great statues.
Next to the horse statues.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly. In Calgary?
Yeah.
They're amazing, aren't they? Spruce Meadows?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's pretty impressive. Yeah.
I want to see Bobby, Tommy actually on one of those statues. One of those.
He'd fit. He'd like, totally he fit.
Like the one of the Musketeers.
He was Aragorn. He'd look like we always say, like Lord of the Rings, right? Mm-hmm. And Bobby would be the axe wielding troll.
Yes. definitely an axe. But what was it, a troll?
What was the guy with the axe? Sorry, it wasn't a troll. Sorry, Bobby. They live under bridges.
Right.
No, but definitely wielding an axe, though. He'd be, you know, kind of like that leather armor, you know, and an axe, and just be a nasty piece of work, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
That's Bobby.
Or those clubs that are like clad in leather with the spikes.
Yes.
Right? He would wield something like that.
A brutal weapon. Mm-hmm. A sword is more of a majestic weapon, right? Whereas a ball and chain or an axe is a brutal weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Be a good fight between them both, actually, wouldn't it?
Isn't the ball and chain with spikes a mace? Isn't it a mace?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. It's amazing when you see an action.
That's also what Buddy got on his penis.
That was a problem. That's why he needed the surgery, apparently.
Put on a helmet. I'm already wearing one.
Can I get a bigger helmet? All right. I think we covered that. I'm trying to delay for more and more of the Premier League. Forest, Jimmy, they're in the title race, aren't they? Tied Liverpool yesterday. Great match. Tied them. They beat them before. What's happening here, Jimmy? Can you explain to me? I mean, is this a one-off season type thing, or are we actually seeing a new force in the Premier League?
I think we are seeing a new force in the Premier League. You got to remember, over the last couple of years, they were one of the highest spenders within the Premier League. They brought a lot of players in. It took a little bit of time for this team to really come together and be a unit. And you can see the way that they're playing, just how cohesive they are. They're all on the same page. They know exactly what they're doing on the pitch. Defensively, they're sound. They know the style of play. They're a hard team to beat. I mean, I think it was the last five matches they didn't concede. So they're just well organized and disciplined. And like I said before, you know, these guys, they've had a bit of a struggle trying to buy into a system. All new players coming together over the last couple of years. They were in a relegation fight. And then this year with new manager coming in, and you know, it's they're a joy to watch. They're exciting for me because, you know, they're comfortable without possession. They like to defend, and they know as soon as they get it with Hudson-Odoi, with Elanga, with Gibbs White, Wood, just how quick they get forward. They're very, very dangerous on the counter. And that's why, you know, a lot of times when you're looking at the stats and all these analytics, you have to shake your head a little bit now because, you know, I'm looking at it and it's, you know, Liverpool have 75% possession. They've had 9 shots. Well, 6 of them are outside the box because they can't get behind the Forest back line. Forest strategically don't want the ball at times because they want you to come at them. They want you to fan out so that as soon as they do win it, they're going forward. So, you know, when you look at the stats and the analytics, you know, there's always a why. And Forest, you can see that, you know, they don't care about that. They just have a game plan. They know what they need to do, and they need one or two chances, and they'll put the ball in the back of the net, which they did. And again, they caught him on the counter, and Chris Wood scoring. So I like the way that they're playing at the moment. He's on fire. So, yeah, they will be contenders. They're a team that's exciting to watch, and they've got potential to challenge for a championship, which I love.
Their owner took a lot of risks too. I mean, he spent an awful lot of money and they were close to relegation. It could have been an awful lot different for them, but he banked on himself. He gambled on himself and here we are. It's nice.
Much like Juan Berube.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He gambled on himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's, you know, when you look at them at Forest and what they put together, it's good business. Mm. It's good business. You know, they didn't spend, I mean, they spent a lot of money, but I think they got a lot of deals in there. You know, when you look at Langa, what they paid for him, what they got Hudson-Odoi for, what the Milenkovic from Fiorentina, they got him next to $15 million, I think it was.
That's Murillo. What they got Wood for.
Yeah, they got Wood as well. Murillo, they got him for
Barton. Wood on this show.
Yeah, I was going to say, well done.
No, it's been good business, you know. So they've done it right over at Forest.
Yeah, the basis for Rage Against the Machine was the player of the match for me, Tom Morello.
A nice 90s reference.
Yes, thank you.
Charles was on fire for us.
Oh, he was so good.
Yeah.
Did anyone see the City-Brentford match? Highlights, City up 2-0 in the 81st minute, and Brentford tied and drew them with an 11-minute span, scored two. And is City feeling the effects of this 125 illegal? Like, is it coming down? What's going on?
The hearing begins on Monday, right? Mm-hmm. So there won't be, the findings won't be, the results won't be found out until the new year, like another year, probably, I believe. But the hearings beginning on Monday, but hopefully sooner than later, right? It's going on too long. But you wonder, I mean, they're playing better of late. They played quite well yesterday. Phil Foden there, Wonga.
Yeah, he scored. I saw him.
He woke up.
Him and that stupid haircut.
Is it more stupid than Cole Palmer's haircut?
Well, I don't know why, but it's no. Cole Palmer's, it fits him. He like, for some reason, it fits him better than Foden's.
Cole Palmer's got that kind of like nerdy look to him, right?
Yes.
Where like a simple Jack.
Yeah, exactly.
A simple Jack? Whereas, who's
yeah. that? Chopping never Thunder.
Oh. I've actually never seen that movie.
Foden's got similar hair, but comes across as being a little dickhead in the
movie. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
No,
it's because he's always whinging too. I don't see that in Cole Palmer like I do in Foden.
He seems to be enjoying his football, and why not?
Yeah.
Even though Chelsea, that they drew as well, right? They've been dropping some points recently. Strange day yesterday, actually, overall. Hey, Jimmy, back to Forest, though. Who's the one player on Forest that they simply cannot afford to lose?
Gibbs White.
Do you think they'll be able to retain him? Is going to be some competition for his services in the offseason?
Well, I think there's, I mean, look, yeah. You know, the right back, he's getting, I think City want him. Alanga, Adoy, people are sniffing around for him. But Gibbs White and Murillo, apparently some big clubs want him now. So they're gonna struggle a little bit to keep some of these players. But I think Gibbs White's definitely the one that you have to hold on to for me.
But you finished probably top five. Five will probably make it to the Champions League next year from the Prem.
Yeah.
And that's key, right? So you finished top five, Craig, or you at least promised Champions League football. How important is that for Forest? And right now, where are they? They're 41 points. So, yeah, you know, they're looking good because Newcastle's in fifth and 35, City in 35. They're 6 points up in the Champions League spots at the moment.
I saw a stat. There's like 57 clubs or something that have had the same or more points after 20 games. There's only three of those clubs didn't make Champions League. So they got a good opportunity statistically, but they got to get it done.
Yeah.
And I can't see them faltering too much unless they have a massive problem with injuries.
That's the thing. How's the depth there, Jimmy? If you do get a couple of injuries, is there an issue?
No, I think they do have depth. Yeah, they've got a good squad. They've built it. They really have put a good squad together for me. I mean, even when they played Luton in the Cup, I mean, they... I think there was only Yates and one other that from your regular starting 11 that played in that match, and all the others came on and played a hell of a game and got a good result. They've got good depth.
Yeah, if we dismiss the City storyline, I would say Forest is the story this year. Has to be the way they play. Hopefully, they can continue it.
I heard them. Sorry, Sharms. I heard them described as belligerent and organized, and I just thought that was so apt as a description.
That's like you, isn't it? That's not how we
describe you. I'm gonna put that on my bio. That's a dream.
It's brilliant. Yeah. Belligerent and organized. That's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today we got
Dubs. Dubs needs to put that on her LinkedIn. It's got to be like,
yeah,
because that's exactly what you are, which is fantastic. But while Jimmy was away, didn't you say something nice about Forest? Didn't you say you kind of cheer for them? Or was that Arsenal? Sorry, I'm trying to figure out.
Oh, God, no. No, I don't cheer. I don't cheer for Arsenal.
But I think it was Forest, right?
Derby? Maybe. I was talking about it, like whenever West Ham play or Ipswich or Jimmy's Forest, then I'm cheering for them.
Oh, okay.
Just because of the ties of the two of them to their past clubs.
West Ham enjoying some new manager bounces as well, Craig, right now. They beat Fulham 3-2. That's a great result in the London derby. Today we have Newcastle, Wolves, Leicester Palace, Arsenal, Spurs, the North London derby. We'll talk about that tomorrow because by the time you hear this, it's probably happened. Ipswich, Brighton go on Thursday, as does United against Southampton. Everton, Villa, though, that's today. David Moyes, we haven't really talked that much about it, right? I kind of feel comfortable and nice and warm and fuzzy seeing Moyes back at Everton, and that he's going to be in charge probably with a new stadium as well. So maybe it's like the last 10 years or so it didn't really happen. Kind of disappeared, right? And here's Moyes once again, Craig, where he should be, where he belongs. I really hope he's successful there, don't you?
I do too. I think Sean Dyche got a bit of a tough rap because he performed small miracles there at the club, especially with the points reduction and everything else. Mm. So tough for him, but it's the nature of the business. And being close to relegation, we know what happens. It needs to make some changes. But it's great to see Moyes back where he was massively successful, finishing in the top 10 most of the time, right?
Yeah. You think the West Ham fans are missing him now?
Well, I think they got a good manager there with anyway, so.
Better hope so. West Ham started off so well this year, didn't they, if I remember? And then it kind of went down the crapper there.
Mm. One of key players missing for West Ham yesterday, too. I mean, Fulham played pretty well, but key players were missing. Bowen wasn't playing.
I think they got 3 goals on 4 shots on target.
Mm-hmm.
So is that what we can expect from Potter with what he's got at West Ham?
Well, he's not playing up front, so.
Hey, listen, there was a big rumor last weekend about Jonathan David being a target of West Ham.
Yeah, I mean.
He'd fit there, but don't you think he wants Champions League football? He does, right?
He wants your Europa League.
And then John on John. Remember your John who was on? He talked about Villa.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Claret and blue. Easy to mistake the two. Mm-hmm. Still the nicest color combination, I think, in professional sports is claret and blue. I like it.
Maybe because
my first kit ever, my first team I ever played for in my life, Seven Oaks Catholic Primary School, was claret and blue because my principal headmaster was a big West Ham fan, Mr. Brunning.
Mm. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Interesting for everyone, isn't it? We have a Casey Stoney coming on very, very shortly, Canada's new national women's coach, Dubs. You saw the press conference, came across really well, as did Kevin Blue, who wasn't wearing a vest, you noted.
No, it's so disappointing now.
Disappointing, yeah. Mm-hmm. But she came across really well, very direct. She knows what she wants for football. And I think they deflected the whole drone gate. We won't get into drone gate with Casey when she comes on because who cares? It's nothing to do with her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was one of my questions. Does she like technology?
Oh boy. Please don't.
Do you have a getting to know her?
I do. Get to know me.
How long
in 5
have,
questions.
Casey Ford, you know? 20
Pardon
minutes.
Pardon me?
20 minutes, yeah.
20 minutes. Okay. So we'll make sure we'll squeeze in the getting to know you at the end.
Yeah.
Okay, Wonga. So if I forget, please let me know.
Mm. Yeah, I definitely will.
Like Jimmy squeezing into his jeans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very tight.
Very tight. Very tight indeed. I heard a little beep. I think, does that mean Casey's arrived?
Maddie's on.
It's Murray.
Yeah, hi.
It's
Murray.
It's me. I don't want to be in this. I don't, like, I want to watch, but I don't want to.
You're always welcome.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Nottingham Forest?
All right. Am I okay here?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna bring you out. You're gonna be. You'll be able to listen to everything, and we're recording right now. So actually, Marie, you bonjour, comment ça va?
You, yeah.
And we'll take you back out until Casey comes on.
Okay.
Awesome.
Mari actually played soccer with my sister Cindy.
Oh wow!
Yeah, fun fact, Marianne Gagné.
For those that aren't watching this right now, that's Mary Gagné from Canada Soccer.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Always welcome on our show. And I want to get her thoughts on Forest, that's for sure.
Yes.
Okay.
I think Casey's got some thoughts on Forest, but we won't get into that.
Let's ask her right now.
Here's an idea.
Oh, I like Forest. I think Forest plays some, like, obviously interesting. There's just shows you there's so many different ways to win football games, so you don't have to have all the ball, but you can be effective in transition and you can win games, and they're playing some really good stuff, and he's done a magnificent job.
That's just what Jimmy was saying just now. Wow, Jimmy, you know what you're talking about.
Kind of a little bit maybe.
But yeah, Nuno's going to be manager of the year, isn't he, at this point? Unless it's a terrible end of the season, you got to think he gets it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's but the players that they've got, what he's been able to do with a squad that's pretty much the same as previous year is incredible.
Anyway, Casey, welcome to Footy Prime.
Thank you for having me.
And congratulations on the new gig.
Woo-hoo. Thank you. Exciting.
And you're sporting the little crest already. You've got your gear. They've set
they
you
have.
Out.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
So it needs to be a bit bigger.
Well, Casey, welcome to Canadian soccer, right? It's a wonderful place. We love it. It's been a trying time the last couple of years, perhaps, but overall on the pitch, it's been brilliant. I've got to ask you, what is the perception of Canadian football, Canadian soccer outside of Canada, specifically in Europe?
Yeah, I think obviously for the women's team, the perception's extremely positive because they've produced so many good players. They've had success at Olympic level. They've done well in World Cups to a degree. So I think in terms of the women's team, like, and I've been immersed in women's football generally, so I think the perception of Canadian soccer is that they are able to do a lot, sometimes with not as many resources as other countries.
And would you, is there a perception of what the typical Canadian football player looks like? Is, you know, we've got Amy Walsh here, of course. We got, you know, who played a certain style of football, very hard-nosed, midfield,
very aggressive.
Yeah, very aggressive, right?
Belligerent and organized.
Belligerent and organized.
We're talking about very touch tackle. Yeah. We're talking, Casey, about Forrest being described as belligerent and organized. And I love that. I was going to steal it from my bio, but that could have also described me as a footballer.
what is the general perception then?
Yeah, I think actually like hardworking, humble, like organized, but always had exceptional certain players in their team as well. Like I played against Charmaine Hooper, who was like really good. I played against Christine Sinclair, like who would just score goals out of nowhere. And then you have like, they had Jessie Fleming coming through when she was really young. Like, so they've always had that kind of hard working, resilient, hard to beat element, but they've always had some exceptional talents in their team that can, you know, hurt you at any time as well.
So nothing like Brazilians.
not quite, no.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Hey, Amy, did your careers obviously overlapped somewhat. Did you guys play each other ever? Do you know?
I think so. Did you play, Casey, in the Cyprus Cup in 2009?
Yes, I would have done.
You guys won that. We lost to you guys in the final.
Yes, I would have done. I remember because that's we then went to the final in the Euros and got beat badly by Germany. So, yeah.
Yeah, so a little bit of a crossover, but we didn't play England a tremendous amount throughout my career.
No, I remember it always being like super competitive, but we didn't, if it wasn't in Cyprus Cup, we played, obviously the big ones were the Olympics in 2012 where Canada dumped us out, and then the big one in 2015 where we did the reverse in the Home World Cup.
But what was that like, Casey, in the Olympics when you played in 2012 under the Great Britain flag? I mean, that was something very different. How was that put together, that team?
Well, it was qualified through England. We could have actually gone to far more Olympics. We actually qualified for the 2008, but we didn't go because of the England, Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales politics around FIFA votes. So we didn't go. We also qualified for 2016, didn't go. So 2012, there was no choice. It was like, we have to put a team in, we're hosting. It was absolutely incredible. It was one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life, playing in a home Olympics in London. I think we had 72,000 when we played Brazil at Wembley. It was also the lowest point in my career when Canada beat us, because I just genuinely thought at that point we were on such a kind of crest of a wave that if we could have done well in the Olympics and won, I knew what that could have done for the women's game in our country. So it was disappointing that we kind of got to quarterfinals and got knocked out.
I'm sorry, I thought you were jumping in there.
No, sorry. I have a bunch of questions.
Okay, you go right out.
You're talking about if you'd won, then that could have been a catalyst for change. And on the presser, you were talking about the WSL and what that's done for the growth of the women's game in England and for the bump that it gave to the national team. And do you see the NSL in Canada, and you've talked about what that will do for the player pool and for the national team here, but have you seen the growth yet in England in terms of the ecosystem and the representation of women, not only in leadership positions and executives and coaching and refereeing, but everything that it means for the game, and then what it means really for the younger generation to see those women not only on the pitch, but in important positions off the pitch?
Yeah, and I think it was a timing piece as well. The fact that the WSL started in 2011 before a lot of other leagues had professionalized and got organized, so to say, I think it's changed the game. It was obviously at first when it was brought in, it was kind of some had gone full-time, some had gone part-time. It wasn't really what it is now. I think off the back of 2015, the success there and the bronze medal and what that did for the league, obviously it works both ways. I think if the national team does well, it does really well for the league. And if the league does well, it does good for the national team. So it works both ways. But I think you're right. I think, do I still think there's more to be done? Yeah, there's not enough female coaches in the game. There isn't. You know, I'll be honest, there's a lot of average male coaches when I think females should be given more opportunities. There's not enough females in executive positions making key decisions, but that is changing. And I think with the league being flourishing like it is, it's got big sponsors, it's broadcast across multiple channels, but big channels that people generally associate with football as well. So I think that is changing. The refereeing is changing. I think it's great to see how many players now can live off the game. You know, yeah. It doesn't mean they're going to be able to live off the game when they retire, but they can live off the game. They can be a professional. They can dedicate their lives to it. That didn't exist when I was playing. I always had a job. So I think that's changed an awful lot. And I think it's so positive. And I think it can show the NSL the direction that that league can go in, and that it can provide a space for players to play, and that people can play in their native country as well, which is really important to some people.
Wasn't it at Charlton, Casey, you were there, and when the men's team was relegated, they scrapped the women's program. Was it Charlton?
Yeah, we'd played in an FA Cup final 2 weeks prior, in front of 20,000. It was actually at Forest. We played at Forest home ground. And 2 weeks later, we got a phone call to say the team had been disbanded, that it wasn't being funded anymore. And I think our funding for that program was £100,000 a year. So we weren't paid, but they wouldn't fund us. And we had no teams. And that was right before we were going to 2009 Euros or World Cup. And we all had to scramble to find teams because we were preparing for a major tournament in the summer.
Crazy. But the world's getting bigger now, right? The women's soccer world. Canada have been a good team for a long time. We know that. But it was a much smaller pool. Now we're seeing, you know, some of the traditional powerhouses taking the game seriously, which makes it a far bigger challenge for you as a coach now here in Canada to push this program. Do we have the grassroots in the right place in Canada, you think, to really push and keep up with the Spains and the Englands of the world?
I think that's something that I'm going to come in and look at, is the overarching structure of the game. You know, what does the pathway look like? I think the fact that the NSL is coming in is crucial. The fact that I've seen so much talent coming through the 17s and 20s as well. So I would suggest there is a good pathway here, that the talent is coming through. It's just continuing that. And it's also the landscape sometimes, because if you look at Spain, like, people can go and play 24/7. The weather and the climate is conducive for that. You know, England isn't always like that. We saw last weekend so many games called off because of frozen pitches. And I think in Canada, there's a lot of facilities and resources that players can, you know, facilitate playing and training. And it's looking at, how do we create an identity? And I've spoken to Jesse Marsh about this. How do we create an identity across the top of the game that can, you know, feed into the pathways so that Canada can be successful at the very, very highest level, because they've been successful. They've won an Olympics, but how do we now take that one step further and look at trying to win a World Cup? But like you say, everybody has got better. The level of most countries is better. You look across the board now, it's so competitive. You don't get those high score lines so much that you used to get in the women's game, which is great. Makes my job harder, but that's also what I thrive under. So I'm really looking forward to the challenge. I think we've got an exciting talent pool, and it's about making sure we get the right people fit and available and experienced enough that come 2027 we can have a real go.
How big was the NSL in your decision to take the Canadian job? Did it play a role?
Yeah, definitely played a role. I think it was considering all aspects of the job. And being able to, I spoke to Diana in depth about the NSL, and I think she's done an incredible job to get it off the ground and to be able to support that and also bring the experience that I had. I was part of the bidding process for Chelsea when we entered the WSL. So the infrastructure and the resources that we're putting in place, I've run an academy. I've kind of done everything from washing kit through to driving the minibus to coaching the team. So I'm hoping that I can support and give those experiences and help guide it where it's needed, if it's needed. But these clubs are, I think, making some really good hires coaching wise, which I think will only benefit the players and also benefit the Canadian team in the long term.
See, Desiree Scott joined Ottawa yesterday, which is she's a fan favorite, of course. Great career towards the end, perhaps, of her career, but great signing for Ottawa. When you look at NSL and then you got NWSL and the North American professional game, you got your group of players. Where will you encourage though, your top players to play? Will it be Europe or will it be NWSL? Is one better than the other for their development at the top level?
I actually said this when I interviewed for the job. It's not my job to encourage players to play anywhere. It's my job to support their decision on where they play and support their development. I just want the players playing and competing, getting minutes every week, competing every week, playing at the highest level they can possibly play. It's important they're not sitting on a bench week in, week out, and having another professional league creates another space for players to be able to play and get competitive minutes. So I will support players in decisions. I'll support wherever they want to go. And it's my job to help, you know, make sure that those club country relationships are really strong so that we can support the players' development and also make sure that they're in the best possible place to perform.
I love that about, you know, talented players not sitting and kind of rotting on a bench somewhere. So getting meaningful experiences, meaningful minutes. Does this year with you coming in and you've had experience, whether it was starting the brand new team at Manchester United or expansion team in San Diego Wave and kind of building something, does this year afford you the luxury of blooding new players, expanding that player pool, bringing in maybe faces that we don't know yet, and you kind of have carte blanche to do that because there's not a major tournament on the docket?
Absolutely. It was another consideration when I accepted the job was we've got a 2-year build, really, obviously qualification in there as well. But this year is, for me, is an exploratory year to be able to discover, learn about the players, learn about the young players, bring in some players and see how they do in a senior environment. Caps and people that are going to need caps going into 2027, but also keep the core of the group that have been so strong and build an identity with them and allow them to perform and flourish and give them freedom within a framework so that, you know, when we come against certain teams, we can create more opportunities, score more goals and obviously keep clean sheets because that's what's going to win you tournaments. But you need your experienced players during tournaments. It's crucial. It's really crucial. So it's trying to find the blend. And it's also an opportunity for the players to get to know me, the way I work and the style of play that I want to embed into the team. But let's not forget they've still had a great year, not been beaten in open play. You know, I think they're in exceptional circumstances, I have to say, which shows resilience of the group. And I'm just here to build on that.
You spoke to Jesse Marsh, I think you mentioned in your presser yesterday. What did Jesse tell you about Canadian soccer and what to look forward to?
I think, you know, obviously I was very clear. I had my doubts about coming into the job at first. I needed to do a lot of research. I needed to know more about the organization, more about the direction the organization was going in. Also more about international football because I'm used to the day-to-day of club game, you know, and actually not doing that. Am I going to be able to still thrive in that role? And speaking to Jesse was a key part of that, obviously getting his experience because he's gone from club to national team as well. And he was really, really good at, you know, expressing how important planning is, how much he's going to do within Canadian soccer to try and grow the game and how we could be a partnership in that. And he very much wants it to be a partnership across men's and women's teams. He spoke a lot about equity and parity, which I think was massive for the women's team as well. So, and he really sold me on the culture of the people and the Canadian people and their humility and their hard work and how they just want to do well and that they're, you know, pliable and shapeable. So for me, it was about how can I come in and do what I do and just enhance what they've already done.
Humility is often a word they use to describe a footy prime, actually. So it's nice, nice to hear that.
Just mentioned us, did he? He didn't say, oh, no. You've got to jump on that media outlet, footy prime. He never said
I'm sure Kevin Blue did, though. I'm sure.
Yes, of course he did.
Yeah, you know. Casey, every new face in Canadian football, we have a little segment which Dan takes care of. It's called Getting to Know You. It's a rapid fire type of session. I apologize in advance for the question. I don't know what they are. It's all Dan Wong's doing here. But Dan, it's your time to shine now, pal. Take over.
And we are now playing Get to Know Me on Footy Prime with Casey Stoney. And this is the condensed version. Usually we go with 9 questions. We're going to do 6. So first question, Casey, you're at home and watching Netflix. What type of movie are you watching? Documentary, thriller, rom-com, or drama?
Documentary.
It's vacation time and you're exploring Canada. What's your ideal holiday? Lakeside cottage, Maritime Beach, Rocky Mountains, or stay home city adventure?
Maritime Beach.
Mm. You have a role on a TV show, and for the role, you need to add 30 pounds. What's your go-to junk food?
Thai food?
That's not junk food. That's not junk food.
You've played at every level and succeeded. What opponent, specifically the player, did you hate playing against or gave you the hardest time?
Birgit Prince, Germany.
Women's Euros next year and England is knocked out. Who do you cheer for?
Wales.
Yeah. Yes. Hey. And finally, I'm sorry to put you in this position. It's a political question. Someone needs to lead our country. Based on who you would listen to, is it Drake, Bieber, or Celine?
Celine.
Yes.
I think it's also a very good answer.
Yeah.
Thank you for playing Get to Know Me on Footy Prime, Casey.
Dubs, that's how you do a rapid fire. Okay.
I know. Yeah, yeah. Casey, it was 6 questions instead of 9 because I broke 9 questions the second time I ever came on this podcast.
We ran out of time.
Too long. We did. Not rapid fire.
She got the hook. She figuratively and literally got the hook.
Rush, yeah.
Casey, yeah, listen, welcome to Canada once again. Thank you so much for this. And good luck. We will talk to you in the next few months, I'm sure. And we really look forward to the next phase of Canadian women's soccer here.
Brilliant. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Casey.
Thank you.
Thanks for jumping on.
Casey Stoney. Yeah, you know, exciting times, Dubs. You know, a new face. And it's funny because, you know, under Bev, you know, part of the transition there was the end of the Sinky era as well.
Yeah.
Right? Because she was the face of Canadian soccer for so, so long. Now in comes Casey. It's almost, listen, I know Sinky retired a year or so ago, but it feels like a real fresh start, doesn't it? For the new coach.
Yeah, it does. And I think we talked about the freedom that this year affords her, not only in getting to know the players, the core, the veterans on the team, the players who have been there, who have real experience at World Cups and Olympics, and navigating really difficult times. But then also, what the hell was I talking about?
I don't know. Transition.
Starting over. Thank you. A chance for the players to get to know her and her style. And
penile enlargements.
No. My God. I think I saw Charlie and everything just went out of my brain.
You did.
Yeah. 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 But also it's kind of a clean slate, as it were, is the beginning of a cycle, like 2 years until a World Cup. And understanding who her key players are going to be. And it's without kind of the shackles or the constraints of a player who's meant so much to the program. And yes, you're without the goals that a Christine Sinclair would afford you, but it's also without the potential baggage of managing that type of personality and somebody who has meant so much to the program. So I think it's absolutely what you said. It's a fresh start in all kinds of ways for Casey Stoney, kicking off her international career, for these players who hopefully, please God, for once can just worry about performance and maybe have like those two ingredients together will mean success at a World Cup, because that's what this program has been sorely lacking.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, as Juan Barabe said, it's all about performance. And there's many ways to improve that. So let's hope that's a similar case for the
I need to clarify something too, Sharms, before you jump off. The word raptor means to seize or grasp in Latin. Raptors use their powerful or sharp talons to capture their prey and to defend themselves. Eagles, hawks, kites, falcons, and owls are all considered raptors.
All right. I stand corrected. It's stupid, but I stand corrected. A raptor will always be a dinosaur to me.
See, that's why you should watch documentaries more.
I guess so, yeah.
Like Casey, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to watch a dinosaur documentary.
Yeah.
Called Pterodactyls by Raptors.
It's a great one. Yeah. Jurassic Park.
It's real.
True. We'll learn about dinosaurs. Watch Jurassic Park and Jurassic Park 2. Okay, well, let's
The Lost World.
Is that what it's called?
The second one? I think the second one is Lost
in New York.
That's Home Alone.
All right.
That was when Chris Bosh got drunk one night and missed his cab home.
Oh.
Lost in New York.
Wrapped got it.
Spike Lee yelled at him. Yeah.
So, yeah,
whole thing.
Exactly.
Good questions, Juan. I love those.
Really thank you.
Yeah, she's great.
Nothing too blue, Kevin Blue.
No, it was good. I was nervous at first, but
if you guys are not nervous about my questions, then we shouldn't have a show anymore.
Yeah, you make a good point.
Yeah. That's a valid point. Yeah. Okay, we're back tomorrow. I'm off to the TFC presser for the unveiling, the official unveiling of Robin Fraser. We'll hope to get Asa on tomorrow, Wonga, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to text Google him right now.
If we can get him on. Anything else you want to add, listener, viewer, please jump on our YouTube comments or on social media. Let us know. And until tomorrow, have a wonderful day, everyone. Enjoy the Prem games later today. And cheers very much for listening.
Go Spurs.
Hi, Charlie.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Charlie just added something to the podcast.
An exploding poop?
In her pants.
She made a deposit.
Love you guys.